From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Last year, the pandemic cut deeply into opportunities for many students in Massachusetts and elsewhere to participate in band and choir classes. This year, music classes are back, although they look a little different. Here to talk about that is GBH reporter Craig LaMolt. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Arun.
So back but different seems to be the theme of this year. But first, let's go back to last year. Were there any in-person band and choral classes in schools last year?
There were some, yeah, but it was really different. You know, music teachers really did whatever they could to make it possible for students to play and to play together. But really, no matter what they did, it just wasn't going to be the same. You know, some groups practiced outside, which of course, you know, in this area got a lot harder as the weather cooled off during the school year. And in schools that were doing a hybrid program, where students were split into two cohorts that came to school on different days, it meant the balance could be weird because you might have too much of one instrument and not enough of another. And the students who were at home were on Zoom and they would just mute their microphones and play along. I talked with Westwood High School senior and tenor sax player Frank Papetti.
Yeah, you kind of feel isolated. It kind of turns you off in a sense. You don't really want to play. Nobody can hear you.
Another student told me for music class last year he had to record his bass guitar parts into an app, which told him if he got the notes right. He said it was kind of like playing a video game, but not the most entertaining one.
Now, my daughter does choir, and I remember back at the beginning of all of this, the conventional wisdom was, well, group singing, that's just about the worst thing you could do in a pandemic like this. But that was a long time ago. Do we know any more now? Like, what research do we have about what kind of risk there is for COVID spreading in performing arts groups?
Yeah, we do. And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the first known COVID super spreader events in the country happened at a choir in Washington State, right? So after that, it was the National Federation of State High School Associations and the College Band Directors National Association. They teamed up to support research into how to make it safe for groups to perform together. They raised funds from 125 different performing arts organizations around the country. And they got scientists from the University of Colorado Boulder and the University of Maryland to conduct a study on this. And the researchers used lasers and high-speed cameras to visualize how aerosols spread from instruments and from singers. And they found if singers wear a mask and if a filter is put over the bell of a wind instrument, right, the end where the sound and the aerosols are escaping out of the wind instrument, the area around that's immediately directly affected by the breath shrinks by a third, which is really significant. And the scientists put out a list of recommendations, including putting those bell covers. It's really a filter that fits on the end of the instrument, putting those for bands and masks for choruses when they rehearse indoors. This is really about when they rehearse indoors. That's the main concern. They also suggest things like physical distancing and added air filtration. I talked to the guy leading the study from the National Federation of State High School Associations. He told me about 20 states are requiring these steps. 20 more have some sort of recommendation to follow the guidelines, and 10 have none. Here in Massachusetts, we do not have a requirement. The state is leaving the requirements up to the districts. But the Massachusetts Music Educators Association put out its own set of recommendations based on this study, and that's what most schools are following right now. Some schools are going above and beyond those recommendations. I visited the high school jazz ensemble in Wellesley, where students are wearing masks even as they play their instruments. Junior Max Goldenson showed me his.
There's a hole in the center, and each side has a magnet on it, so you can kind of clip it closed whenever you're not playing.
It's worth noting these masks and the bell covers are in high demand, and some schools are having a hard time getting their hands on them. There are a few companies that are making them, but some are really backordered right now.
What do the students you spoke with think about these, the covers and the masks, those kind of protective measures?
You know, I'd say across the board, the students I spoke with said they really don't mind the masks, the bell covers. They're just thrilled to be making music all together again. One of the groups I visited was the Keynote Singers at Wellesley High School.
All by yourself.
There about 40 students in the group, including senior Nora Harkin.
For all of us, like, this is our community. This is where we find joy in our day-to-day. Like, it's a break from the schoolwork, and it's a time, like, all of my friends are in these choirs and in these groups, so to lose that was a really hard time. We don't want to do that again.
And they're all hoping that with all these new protective measures, they won't have to do it again.
Well, Craig, it's definitely nice to find a bit of joy these days. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's GBH reporter Craig LaMolt. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. New polling shows that Michelle Wu has a commanding lead over fellow city councilor Anissa Asaibi George in the race to become Boston's next mayor. With Election Day less than 3 weeks away, Wu holds a 32-point lead over Asaibi George, according to a poll of 500 likely voters from WBUR, the Dorchester Reporter, and the Boston Foundation. Wu, with her progressive agenda, was the top vote-getter in the preliminary election last month. Steve Casella is the president of the Mass Inc. polling group, which ran the poll.
She's got a wide lead among white voters, black voters, Latino and Asian voters. Overall, it's really that she's earned support from across Boston.
The poll found that Asaibi George's supporters are generally older, whiter, more male, and more conservative than Wu's. In other news, officials say they're moving forward with what they're calling a regional approach to tackling homelessness and substance abuse along Boston's Mass and Cass corridor. But a Cambridge city councilor is voicing concerns that surrounding communities are not having enough say in discussions. Councilor Mark McGovern tells GBH News that these issues will inevitably affect nearby cities and towns.
You can't just take folks from one community and move them to another community and think that you've solved the problem. This needs to be a true regional conversation. Cambridge needs to be at the table. Somerville needs to be at the table. Revere needs to be at the table.
The Baker administration declined to respond directly to McGovern's comments, but said that the governor is engaging with the city of Boston and other stakeholders. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear arguments today on reinstating the death penalty for convicted Boston Marathon bomber Zahar Tsarnaev. Tsarnaev's guilt or innocence in the 2013 attack is not in question, but a federal appeals court threw out Tsarnaev's death sentence last year, ruling the trial judge made a mistake by not allowing jurors to hear evidence that Tsarnaev's lawyers wanted to introduce. The defense argues this evidence would show Tsarnaev's brother, Tamerlan, was the mastermind of the bombings and that their client is less culpable because he was radicalized by his older brother. The Supreme Court is also being asked to determine whether the trial judge did enough to assess jurors' exposure to news coverage of the marathon bombing. And finally, Boston's North End is mourning the loss of one of its own, boxing legend Tony DeMarco, who died Monday at 89. DeMarco knocked out Tony Saxton in 14 rounds at the Boston Garden to win the welterweight championship in 1955.
Here in round 14, DeMarco is in full control. He punches from all angles, never allowing Saxton to get an attack underway.
A statue of DeMarco stands at the corner of Hanover Street at the tip of the North End. DeMarco was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2019. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since a quick jab and a cross, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Before you go, let me tell you about Nova Now, a new biweekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Now is more critical than ever to distinguish fact from fiction and find science-based answers to the most pressing questions of our time. Subscribe to Nova Now wherever you get your podcasts.